If you want more time, money, freedom, and have a business that's not reliant on you, then you're in the right place. Each week, Mark Creedon, along with some of the very best business minds in the world, will take you through simple, practical steps you can take to create the business you always wanted. From his own practical experience, Mark will show you how to work less, make more, and get the business you always wanted, the one that you deserve. Now here's your host, one of Australia's most sought-after business coaches, Mark Creedon.
All right, welcome to the next episode of the Mastermind for Business podcast. Hey, guys, I'm super excited about today because in the studio with us, I've got Tim and Felix from Bow Racking. We're going to have a say hi to the guys in a second. In today's episode, I want to talk to Tim and Felix about how they grew a business, you know, which is almost now Australia-wide. And more importantly, not so much how they grew the business, but how they got away from being on the tools. In other words, got away from working in the business to working on the business and running the business. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Great to have you both here. Let's talk a little bit about Bow Racking so we can understand, so the listeners can understand. Tell me, what does Bow Racking do?
We are in the service industry. We do warehouse installations, main focus on large logistic companies. So we fit out their warehouses with pallet racking, mezzanine floors, and anything else you can put in a warehouse pretty much.
And guys, when we first met, which was about 18 months ago, you were operating out of Melbourne?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, 18 months later, you're not just in Melbourne. So you're operating out of Adelaide?
Adelaide, Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne.
Nice.
And
nice.
Perth is on the list. So we're hoping by the end of the year, we want to have them all.
So I remember when I very first had the conversation with you, and I think the conversation was around, you know, where do you guys want to be in 5 years' time? And there was this sense of, you know, the biggest player and being Australia-wide, and you're very, very much well on your way to achieving that. The big mistake I see that people make is they think that growing their business is about them just doing more and working harder. And one of the things I've watched you guys do is really scale by doing less on the tools. How did that come about? You know, let's talk about what had to change for you in the way you thought, what had to change in the operations of the business. You know, what mindset shifts did you have to make?
I actually remember that pretty good. I was sitting in the car. I think it was in the middle of COVID, and we already spoke about it that we need to be less on the tools, focus more on working on the business, not in the business. And it was actually pretty funny. I heard Mark then on the podcast with Michael Yardney.
Right.
And I thought, this guy sounds pretty good. And it was actually at a time where we were actively discussing how do we change the whole thing around.
And so it's one thing to hear me on the podcast and to go, like, let's have a chat. But what had to change in thinking for you guys in order for you to get off the tools and start working more on it than in it?
The biggest change, at least for me, was when we started working with you, it was pretty quickly we got to that point that we can't be doing all the work. We're actually stopping our people from developing their own skills, and we're kind of in the way as more as a barrier. But we thought we're actually doing the right thing and leading them, but we kind of stopped them from growing individually, and that stopped the company from growing.
And I think we had really strong limiting beliefs. I remember that time when we started working with you, we said, we can't step back. We are needed on the front line. We need to run teams.
I remember that time very well as well. Because I remember, you know, initially in some of the initial coaching sessions we had, you guys were sort of saying, Mark, you don't understand, we need to be there. And I was sort of thinking, okay, I need to help you guys to see that, that you guys don't understand that you don't need to be there, but we need to put all the structure and systems in place to enable that to happen. It's quite common that we see that we become the own roadblocks, you know, the biggest roadblocks in our business. But you were trying to do the right thing, weren't you? You thought you were leading from the front. So what changed in terms of, we'll talk about the people you got around you, but I'm really keen to think about what changed in terms of your own thinking? Like, how did that switch flick?
I think for me, I wanted to do everything myself.
Yep.
I'm really like diligent with everything. I like to go 100%. I'm like a perfectionist. And I thought, I have to do it all. Otherwise, what we deliver isn't perfect.
Yeah.
But then I realized I could actually train someone to do a much better job. Because it turns out I'm a way better teacher in doing the things right than actually doing it.
Yeah.
Doing it right.
So that's a really interesting kind of awakening for you. How did you go about then, you know, finding the right people? Did you already have those people? Did you have to go and look for them? What was the process you went through?
I think really big for us always was to hire from within. So
yep.
I think that was where we were looking first. And if you look at our employees now, or for example, our supervisors, nearly all of them came up from the ground. And as an example, Ronnie or Diego, they started as installers and they are now in higher roles as an interstate operations manager or our marketing coordinator. So we looked from within.
It's an interesting thing, because how long have you been in business?
We started the whole thing in July 15, but it was pretty much a two-man show for just him and Tim and me for quite some time. And then it really kicked off just before COVID.
So July 2015, we're now in June
2023.
Nearly 8 years. Yeah. So in 8 years, you've gone from the two of you on the tools, doing the assembly, doing all the work. How many staff do you have now?
We should be sitting at around 95 people.
Right. So you've agreed on a figure. Yeah. We're having this conversation before it started with 95, 96. Yeah. Okay. So 95 people. And so promoting from within is great, but there's still an element of letting go, isn't there? You know, because you can promote people up, but the problem is if you continue to be the roadblock, they'll never actually step up.
Agreed. Yeah, it needs trust, and we had breakages along the way, but nothing we couldn't fix, you know? So it wasn't easy, and it was a process, but it was the best decision to focus more on teaching than doing ourselves.
So, Tim, one of the things that I see is a massive hurdle in that is the actual letting go, and you've just said it wasn't easy. What was particularly hard about it, and how did you overcome that? How did you push past that? That concept of letting go, because that's the biggest thing I think that holds most people back.
It's still ongoing. Huh? So I think we're still holding on to some areas where we probably should rather teach other people to take this over. So it's still an ongoing process. It's baby steps, and it's just continuously teaching and trusting, I think.
I had the privilege of spending a day with you and your supervisors about a month ago. And the thing that I saw was that you guys work hard on, I think, on three things. You talk about teaching, empowering, but also relationships, building relationships. So you can, as Felix, you said you've discovered that you're probably better at teaching than you are at doing on lots of things. How important is that empowerment and then building the relationships? And how have you gone about building relationships with those sort of next layer of people in your business?
I think we benefited a lot from being a smaller company at the start. And because Tim and me were so heavily involved in the day-to-day, obviously we actually been in the trenches with a lot of our like leaders right now, which is in relations to scalability. Obviously, it was wrong to be there for so long, but in regards to culture, it definitely benefited the company, because like I think half of the leaders today, our supervisors, they work on jobs with us. So we got in there, we got dirty together day in, day out. For example, Hector, who is now our construction manager in Sydney.
Yep.
I think I worked 3 years with him every day. Mondays to Saturdays.
And yeah.
We've been through so much, and he knows he can trust me 100%. I know I can trust him 100%. And this is kind of our strengths, and this is how we kind of build the whole team up. So all of these guys, we have personal catch-ups with them. We try and give them as much attention as they need. We're always there for a chat any time of the day. We do regular catch-ups. We have them in the office. We do social catch-ups with them. We show up at their house when they have a barbecue with all this stuff. And just trying to have really close relations with them and show them how much we value them is probably a big part of it. Yeah.
So it's interesting, because I think the two things that I've heard out of that, and you've said it a couple of times, one is trust and the other one is value. So, but it's not just that you have to trust them, but that they have to trust you as well. And how they trust you is by them seeing that you value, that you genuinely value them. I mean, let's be honest, you guys are based in Melbourne. You've both got your own lives. You're in Brisbane today, and thanks for coming in to do this. But you're in Brisbane today to actually take your Brisbane team out for a meal tonight.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's very important that so in Melbourne they all experienced the culture and we had the catch-ups, we did yep. the activities, and now we feel like if we really want to do that well Australia-wide, we got to be there.
Yeah.
So that's why we're here. I think
meet the team. There's a couple of new faces there we haven't seen, so it would be good to have a chat, get to meet them personally.
Yep.
And I mean, they're all, I think we're pretty lucky. We have a really, really nice team. And it's good to spend time with them. So it is not really work, you know. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Felix, that you say we're pretty lucky. But the reality is I think that, you know, that you make your own luck. The harder you work at something, the luckier you get. So I've watched you guys over the last 18 months, you know, put lots and lots of effort into your team. And really in the last 18 months, you really have kind of gone fairly boom in your business, haven't you? But I've watched you put lots of effort into your team. Do you ever feel like you've let go of something too soon in terms of letting go?
I mean, if you look at the success in the last year, I think it's not measurable
yeah.
that we let go too soon.
Yeah.
I think it has been amazing, especially the last year. You might remember our revenue goals we hidden.
Yes.
Know? So which is can't really measure that it was the wrong decision to get off the tools.
Yeah. Any, not maybe not regrets, but, you know, if you had your time over again, say for the last 12 months, would you have let go of anything else? Or is there anything pressing now that you think, you know what, I really should be letting go of that.
Talked about that on the plane.
I think I'm still a little bit too involved in the administrative part. I do the payroll and everything. And
yep.
I mean, it is good. It gives me kind of confidence that this is all right and stuff. But I'm also pretty sure there's someone who could do that instead of me and I can focus on other stuff, which the benefit for the company would probably be greater. That's my next project anyway.
So has that been challenging? Have you thought to yourself, like, I mean, has it been a dint to the ego to think that you're not as needed?
At the start it was, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you built this baby. Like, it's yours from the ground up, right?
It felt really weird to give up control. And yeah, but that shifted pretty quick. So now it's our focus is pushing our supervisors, promoting them on social media and putting them more in the spotlight. Because now finally these guys are the faces our customers going to see on site, and the trust, we are trying to build the trust with those guys. Yeah,
I think if I can add, yeah. I remember the first conversation we had when our roles changed slightly. You said to me on the phone, what do I do with all my time? this is now like, I mean, maybe 6 to 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And now your days are filled up. That's probably a lesson for anyone else. Like this fear of letting go and being not needed anymore, it's just in your head.
Yeah.
And you actually realize there's so many more things. They're more valuable or yep. better use of your time, but you don't even see them because you're caught up with like day-to-day activities.
Yeah.
And I think especially you, like your schedule nowadays is what you do with your time is so much more valuable for the business, you know, than what you did before with your time.
And that's what I've seen. I mean, that's what I've seen with you guys is that letting go of the kind of the day-to-day, the rats and mice, if you like, in your business, as much as initially you sort of went, well, where do I sit? Where's my value? You know, what am I going to do with the time? And, you know, I don't have this identity anymore where I'm needed. But what you've been able to do is just focus on really important things that actually have helped you to scale the business to the next level because you're not caught up in that rats and mice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about empowering your team and valuing your team. And there's lots of things that you guys do. I know you do, you know, you're coming up here for a few drinks and dinner. I know you do, you know, regular catch-ups with the team. You know, you acknowledge their birthdays and special events and all of those sorts of things. Do they feel a bit like family?
I'd definitely say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we try and tell them we're always there if they have like private issues and they can always message us. We're very accommodating with their needs in all regards.
And I think we might have a little bit of a special situation because, I mean, as you probably can hear by our accents, we are foreign.
Yeah,
we came here 10 years ago. And it is, We have a very multicultural team. So we have, I think at the moment, 14 different nations.
Yes.
And it is a little bit like a family abroad.
You yes. know, it's,
these guys come with backpacks, a lot of them,
yep.
you know,
and, like, us.
Like us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is really, yeah, we try to be there. If whatever it is, money troubles or so, we are always there. We try to help. We try to give them a platform where they can connect besides work.
Yep.
And yeah. I think so far it's working.
And that's really working. I know when I did that presentation with the supervisors, it was a little bit like a mini United Nations meeting that we had. But certainly. But interestingly, when we asked the guys what mattered to them, that you know there was all this family back at home. And so the fact that they don't have that family here, I guess, probably makes it a little bit easier for you to open the door to that family. But I think as business owners, you've still got to be prepared to do that. Do you know? It's the old – I remember working with a guy years ago and – I was on a Zoom chat with him. It was whatever it was, Skype back then. And there was this noise outside his office. And I said to him, "Oh, what's that?" And he said, "Oh, they're singing Happy Birthday." And I went, "Well," he was one of the directors. And I went, "Well, you need to go. You need to go and join in the." He went, No, I don't like them." I went, "Oh, okay. Well, whose birthday is it?" He goes, "Who cares? I don't like any of them." Do you know? And it was just that there was that really old school, you come to work, you get paid, you go home, and I don't know anything about it. It's dead and gone, isn't it?
It is gone. And it has great benefits if you can actually offer something besides just the paycheck, because I think we noticed along the way that it is not all about money. I mean, money is amazing, but I think a lot of the guys sticked around because there's a community.
Yeah, yeah. There's a sort of saying people will come, you know, they'll come for one reason, they'll come for the job, they'll come for the money, but they'll stay for the community or the family. And I think as I've watched you guys and, you know, I've often said to you, just love working with you because I watch you, you've created that trust, that value, that sense of community and family for your team. And it's a real pleasure to see you gents achieve thank what you've achieved.
Nice.
Yeah? Guys, thank you so much for today. It's been very cool. That's a wrap for this session of the Mastermind for Business podcast. If you know someone in business who you think would benefit from listening to this podcast, please share it. And if you'd like to know a little bit more about what we do, working with guys like Tim and Felix, helping them in their business, you can go to metropolemastermind.com.au or seewhatspossible.today and have a chat with Caroline. She'll fill you in on all the things that we can do. In the meantime, make sure you spend time with those who matter most. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for joining us on the Mastermind for Business podcast. If you're ready to have a business that you're not a slave to, check out metropolemastermind.com.au or have a chat with Mark and the team at allthews.seewhatspossible.today.